Our first scripture reading this morning is taken from the book of Mark, chapter 6, verses 1 through 13, and can be found on page 995 of your pew Bible. Mark 6, 1 through 13. Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. "Where did this man get these things?" they asked. "What's this wisdom that has been given him, that he even does miracles? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, "Only in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house is a prophet without honor. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them." And he was amazed at their lack of faith. Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village. Calling the 12 to him, he sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. These were his instructions. "Take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave as a testimony against them." They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. Our second scripture is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 2 through 10, and can be found on page 1149 of your pew Bible. 2 Corinthians 12, 2 through 10. "I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was called up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, who was called up to paradise. He heard inexpressible things, things that man is not permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain, so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say, to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations. There was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.' Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." This is God's holy word.
I want you to use your imagination once again this morning. I want you to imagine that you are in your home. You are sitting in your front room and you are looking out a window and you see someone you don't know walk up to your front door and ring your doorbell. How welcoming are you? Do you leave your front room and act like no one's home? Do you check your phone and look at the security feed from your front door camera in order to get a better look at who is at your front door? Does your camera feed show the person walking away because they saw the sign that you have on your front porch, "Strangers not welcome here"? Do you go to the front door and peek through the curtains to see who it is? Or do you leave the chain on your front door and open it just a crack to ask what the person wants? Do you open the door and leave your storm door closed and locked and ask how you can help the person? If you answer the door and greeted the person, and the stranger introduces himself or herself and says they are from St. Jacob's Church and would like to talk with you about the Bible, how welcoming are you? Do you ask the person for credentials as to proof of their identity? Do you step back and close the door in their face, and go on? Do you step out onto your front porch and invite that person to sit down, and you sit down and you enjoy talking, dialoguing about the Bible? So many options, so many potential responses, but the basic question is the same. How welcoming are you? I think we need to keep in mind what Scripture teaches us about being welcoming. Hebrews 12:13 says, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers." In Matthew 25:35, Jesus says, "I was a stranger and you invited me in." I want you to recall that verse from Ecclesiastes 12:13 that I shared as we reflected on July 4th, Independence Day. "Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all humankind." Welcoming strangers is one of those duties. It's one of those duties the Lord calls us to live out. As we study and consider Mark chapter 6 and Jesus sending out the 12 disciples, I want you to consider this lesson from the perspective of being the person visited. We often look at it from the disciples' view, but I want you to think about, as you listen, think about you being the person the disciples are coming to. Two disciples, they come to your home. They come to see you. How do you react? How do you welcome them? Would you listen to their message? Or would the two go away, shaking the dust off their feet? Jesus sent his 12 disciples out to talk with people, to visit with them in their towns and in their homes. And the 12 were to tell people that they should repent. And the Spirit of God empowered the 12 to drive out demons and to heal many people. The demons, says the evil spirits, can also be described as unclean spirits, which means it can be a poor attitude, a negative attitude. The disciples shared a message of repentance. They did not create a new message. They were sharing what Jesus had shared with them. They were sharing what John the Baptist had already shared about repentance. They didn't need to know the details of a person's sin. They just talked to humans about the need for repentance. They didn't get caught up in figuring out what the person had done wrong. The disciples did more than just preach and heal. As they went out in pairs, two by two, when two of them entered a house, there was a hopeful expectation, a sense of hope within them that their hosts would extend meals and lodging to the two disciples. Whoever opened the door to the two disciples was suddenly faced with a situation of hospitality. How welcoming would you be? Some key points to remember from Mark chapter 6, verses 7 through 13. Jesus sent out his disciples. They were sent out just as God had sent out Jesus. In John 20:21, we read, again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Again, as Jesus sends out his disciples, he is asking of the disciples what God the Father has asked of him. And as Jesus sends us out, he's asking the same things of us that God the Father asked of him. And as Jesus was sent, he always remembered that God was with him. He always remembered that God loved him. He always remembered him that God would give him the words in the ministry to offer. The disciples were sent out by Jesus to do the same things that Jesus did, to preach and to heal the sick and to free people from evil spirits. And the disciples, they were sent out in trust. They were dependent upon God, just as Jesus had been dependent upon God. And Jesus told the disciples to take nothing with them, just the staff. Take nothing else for the journey. The disciples were being forced to depend upon the Lord. They had to go out in trust. They had to trust that the Lord would provide, that the Lord would meet their daily needs for food and for lodging. And if they were to preach in the name of Jesus, if they were to convince people to place their trust in Jesus, they were displaying how they traveled with nothing. They were displaying that they trusted Jesus would provide. As I thought about that, I'm going on vacation again this week, and I'm going to take nothing with me. I'm just going to let the Lord provide. Oh yeah, we're going, part of my vacation is to help one of my daughter's friends lay some laminate flooring and tile in their house. So I, of course, have to take all my tools. That will be my staff. And the rest we'll just get as we go. God will provide. And you can check with Lynn how well I hold up to that. But I trust the Lord will provide. He has provided everything that I've always needed. And so I will take the clothes that he has provided with me. I often carry a Bible with me to go in to visit somebody in the hospital or to go in to visit somebody in a care facility or as I start to visit people in their homes once again. I often take a Bible with me so I can open it up and read scripture and have a prayer with the person. But more and more, as I am much more comfortable in being a pastor these last few years, I'm going without my Bible. Trusting that the Lord will give me the words to say, trusting the Lord will give me that scripture verse that fits that situation that I can give to that, share with that person, and end with prayer. Trusting that God will supply. And as I trust, God is faithful. The disciples were sent out to preach, but if their audience didn't receive the message, they didn't receive it. They weren't supposed to sit there and try and force it upon them. If the audience did not receive it, then the disciples were due to do what they were instructed to do, to shake the dust off their feet when they left that home or left that town. In that day, if Jewish people had to go to a Gentile city, as they left that city, they would shake the dust off their feet. It was a gesture that said, we don't want anything from this Gentile city to go with us. As Jesus instructed the disciples to go and to preach, Jesus was telling them to regard a Jewish city that rejects their message as if it were a Gentile city, and to leave that behind and go on to the next. Don't worry, don't be concerned, but shake the dust off and go on to the next home, the next town. A few weeks ago, when talking about the planting the seeds of God's word, I referred to Paul's lesson in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, in which he wrote, I, Paul, planted the seed, Apollos watered it, and God made it grow. We are called to plant seeds. As those disciples went out, they were planting seeds. Others probably would water it, but it was up to God to make it grow. It's not our responsibility for the person to receive our message. We are just supposed to share the message. As Jesus sent out the disciples, he sends out us. In verse 12, as the disciples were sent out to preach, Jesus wasn't setting them up to preach from a pulpit or from a lectern. Jesus was having them go out to converse, to proclaim the good news, to talk with people in their homes or on the streets, wherever they encountered somebody. They were supposed to just share the good news. In one-on-one or two-and-two conversations, sharing with others what they knew about Jesus. And one of the most important points of this passage comes in verse 12. They went out. It's simple, isn't it? Jesus sent out his disciples, and in verse 12, they went out. They went. They didn't refuse. Maybe they were reluctant. They didn't go and hide, but they went. They went. Scripture says they went out and they preached. They did what Jesus told them to do. They did what Jesus prepared them to do. If you've been able to listen to the sermons over the last month, 6 weeks, talking about planting that word and all those, it's coming up, and we're not done yet in talking about this responsibility of being sent out. Not reluctantly, but going, trusting that God wants us to go to this person or to that home and talk with them from Scripture. Knowing why Christians might be coming to your door and ringing the doorbell, would you be prepared to hear their message? Would you be open to the message of repentance? Would you be strong and trusting enough to share your faith with those people that came to your door? And would you be strong and trusting enough to go with them to the next home? As we think about this message coming to us, what is going to be our response beyond listening? As I think about what Jesus was asking of his 12 disciples, a task I obviously believe Jesus is asking of his disciples today, I wonder how well the disciples were prepared to deal with rejection. Isn't that one of the things that holds us back? We have a good word to share. We have Scripture to share, but are reluctant to go because we don't want to be rejected. We don't want to be told, no, don't come here. Let's see how Jesus handled rejection. In the first verses of Mark chapter 6, Jesus was rejected himself. As he traveled throughout Judea and Samaria and Galilee, crossing back and forth over the Jordan River and going back and forth at times across the Sea of Galilee, his journeys throughout his public ministry, they were vast and they were varied. In Mark chapter 5, we encounter Jesus on the other side of the lake in the region of the Gerasenes. Would have been Gentile land. And then he gets back in the boat to return to the other side of the lake. And he makes his way to the home of Jairus, whose daughter was dying. And from that home, then Jesus continues on his journey, and he ends up in Nazareth, his own hometown. He probably wasn't going specifically to his hometown. It was just on his travels. And he had his disciples with him. And because it was the Sabbath, Jesus did what Jesus did. He went to the synagogue, and he preached. We know that Jesus began to teach, and his listeners, Scripture says, they were amazed at his teaching. But it probably wasn't a positive amazement as we read on. The people may not have been amazed by the points that Jesus was making in his teaching, for they might have been more amazed about who this man was. They knew him to be the carpenter's son. They knew his father, Joseph, and his mother, Mary. They had watched him grow up. They knew that he had no formal education. And they were amazed at what he was saying, but they were wondering where he got his wisdom from. They were amazed by what he knew. But they had this sense that this couldn't be really so. Their amazement wasn't necessarily in a positive light. They might have been more aghast at what he was saying. As I said, they knew him since he was a boy. They knew his parents and his brothers and his sisters. How dare he stand up and begin to teach us. He didn't have the right. He didn't have the authority. And then it says, and they took offense at him. They couldn't understand Jesus. They couldn't understand how he became so powerful. Where was his authority coming from? And if they couldn't understand the source, they couldn't receive him. And so they were offended. As they listened, they must have missed the points of Jesus' teaching. They were too well set in their ways. They clung to their Jewish heritage. They dismissed Jesus as teacher. They knew that he had no formal theological training. And what does Jesus do in his rejection? He moves on. In Mark 4, verses 4 through 6, once again, Jesus said to them, "Only in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house is a prophet without honor. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith." So the people were amazed, and Jesus was amazed at their lack of faith, at their lack of understanding. In faith, we are to welcome conversations with people about Jesus. From our reading of Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, one of the key points of information we can draw from Paul is what Paul learned from the Lord in verse 9. "But the Lord said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" Paul continues to struggle with that proverbial thorn in his flesh. It's a spiritual thorn that was meant to keep Paul humble. As you read that passage, Paul was growing in knowledge and wisdom, and he could be conceited about himself. But the Lord sent this thorn in his flesh to keep him humble. As he felt that thorn, he was reminded of his humility and that I rely upon the Lord. I read an article about that verse, and in that article talked about the hundreds of books that have been written trying to understand what is that thorn. And as you read the opening verses that we've read, only God knows. I believe we waste our energy and our efforts if we only try to figure out what is that thorn. If we only focus in on that, we're missing the point. The point is to remain humble and to rely upon God's grace. "My grace is sufficient for you," the Lord says. As we are being sent out, as we are encountering people in our daily lives, as we witness of our faith with others, we don't have to be the perfect spokesperson. We don't have to have all of the words figured out that we're going to say, because it's not us. It is the Spirit of God working through us. All we must do is be willing to be sent. But also, we have to be able to receive. We have to be someone that is going to welcome someone else into our lives, into our homes, that we might grow from them. Oftentimes in the church, we think about, we have to go out. We do, but we also have to receive. We have to welcome. And in either aspect of the journey, remember that God's grace is sufficient for us. Let's pray. Lord God, I don't know what everyone heard. I pray that they heard your words of Scripture. And I pray that we will go out and remember that your grace is sufficient. Also, Lord, remind us that Jesus sent the disciples and they went. Lord, may we respond in affirmation as you send us. May we go, relying upon your grace. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. There are many different ways that people are sent out in ministry. And part of that support of that ministry comes through our offerings and through our tithes that we share in worship and in many other ways. And so as we share this morning, I just pray that you would be aware of the grace of God in your hearts, that we might be able to offer blessings to others. So I invite our ushers to come forward. Lord God, through your blessing of your Holy Spirit, we pray that these offerings and we ourselves would be an offering to you as living sacrifice to share in your kingdom in the ministry of the church. In Christ we pray. Amen.
Our closing hymn is number 277, The Church is One Foundation. After the benediction, we'll sing 610, Go Now and Live for the Savior.
Thank you.
As we are sent out from this sanctuary into the world, may the compass of Scripture be your guide. And may you know Psalm 46, verse 10, be still and know that I am God. God will fill you. God will fill you with His grace and with His word. Amen.